so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's pray. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, search our heart, O God, and show us that evil thing in us, and then lead us in the everlasting way. Speak, Lord. Your people are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The late evangelist and theologian Oswald Chambers wrote, "God can achieve his purpose either through the absence of human power and resources or the abandonment of reliance on them. All through history, God has chosen to use nobodies because their unusual dependence on him made possible the unique display of his power and grace. He chose and used somebodies only when they renounced dependence on their natural ability and resources." This is the essence, the essence of sufficient grace. Total reliance on God's empowering grace and the abandonment of self-empowerment in one's service to God's kingdom. As we explore this final influence of grace, let's take a brief look at the context for our text this morning. Influential teachers had arisen in the Corinthian context who boasted of great spiritual experiences. False teachers, Paul sarcastically calls them super apostles. They had infiltrated the Corinthian church, undermining the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and boasting of their own spiritual help programs. They were apparently effective in their evil efforts. As Paul says in verse 3 of chapter 11, "But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. These so-called super apostles came in boasting of their hyper-spiritual aesthetic experiences, the promised secret and powerful access to God." They said, "You really want to know God? Do you really want to experience God? Then follow our program. Because Paul is not helping you guys." Such divine access would grant power and success and glorious superiority to those who had not bought into the program. Paul recalls an actual experience, an outer body experience he had in the third heaven, and was exposed to divine visions and revelations that could not be recorded or revealed on an earthly level. Now, John the Revelator, we call him. John was caught up too, but he was able to reveal that. Paul said, "I went to the third heaven, and I saw inexpressible things, and I heard things that God kept from Paul's ability to express them." So Paul stated in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 and 8, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of what? surpassing greatness of the revelations. A thorn was given to me in the flesh. A messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times, at three intervals, I pleaded with the Lord about this thorn, that it should be me. And here's the final influence of grace. Grace is powerful. Grace is powerful. Let's point A, the provision of God's grace. The provision of God's grace. Paul says, but he said to me, in the midst of my agony and pain, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Number one, grace is sufficient. Oh, it's adequate. Grace is for us more than enough, as it was for Paul. This word grace is archaeo in the Greek, and it means to be possessed by unfailing strength, to be enough, to be strong, in the sense of providing satisfaction and contentment in the circumstances of life. Well, that's powerful. Because most of us don't experience that kind of excitement about our problems. Paul learned that God was sufficient for his insufficiency. Paul was aware of God's provision of grace when he wrote in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5 and 6, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency, our adequacy is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Our difficulties, beloved, not only reveal our innate weakness, but if we respond properly, they will provide us with an opportunity to see God's awesome power demonstrated on our behalf. See, Paul learned that his weakness and dependency was an excellent backdrop upon which to display God's strength. This is God's mode of operation. God takes that which is weak to display the strength of his power. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says in chapter 1, verse 27, 29, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise of the world. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. So that, this is for the purpose of all of this, so that no human being might boast, brag in the presence of God. Talking about God's grace, being available for every need, and his power being adequate for every circumstance is just not religious rhetoric, and shouldn't be. But it is until one is placed in a crisis that forces them to draw upon the grace and power of Jesus. When God places you in that valley of despair, in that cauldron of tests, then you really get your mind fixed. You get your heart right. So you start focusing on the eternal because you're struggling in time. Isn't that amazing? extremities is God's opportunity. Are you pushed to the limit? Then you can't take it no more. Get on your knees and pray for provision. What kind of provision? The provision of God's grace. Because in that provision of God's grace is accuracy, is help, is aid to keep you and preserve you. So affirm God's provisions when you're facing the problems and pains and perils of life. B. Not only the influence of God's provision of grace, but the influence of the presence of God's power. Oh, I love that. The presence of God's power. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, at the latter part of that verse, Paul said, if Jesus told me his grace is sufficient, that his power is made complete in my weakness, he says, if that's true, and I believe it is, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest on me. Counterintuitive. It goes against our human brain. We don't want to brag about our weaknesses. We want to brag about our strengths. We go for a job interview, they don't want to know about our weaknesses. They want to know first about our strengths. And then what kind of weaknesses do you have? But they're not going to hire you based upon your weakness. They're going to hire you based upon your strengths. How you and your abilities can benefit their corporation. God looks at our resume and he sees that we're not qualified. Even though we have all these qualifications. Because we forget that God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the call. We don't believe that. We don't believe that. Because we're trying to do everything in our humanity to be good, to be just, to be right, to be loving, to be kind, to be all these good things. But we know inside that we are fighting with ourselves. Listen to this. Number one. Grace is Christ's power transforming our perspective on life's challenges. That's what he wants to change, beloved. His power is there to change your perspective on your problems. We see as irrelevant and unnecessary when they're actually relevant and necessary. Are you with me? The power here, the presence of God's power, is dunamis power. It means inherent power residing in a thing or a person by virtue of its nature. Jesus, the God-man, is dunamis power. The Holy Spirit is dunamis power by virtue of his nature. He's omnipotent, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're the three in one. They're all omnipotent. That means all powerful. So Jesus says to Paul in his weakness, in his pain, in his peril and predicament, he says to Paul in prayer three times in this interval of praying, my grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect, complete, in weakness. The same word is used in 1 Corinthians 4:20, where Paul says, for the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in dunamis, in power. A power that is inherently resident in the kingdom of God, because of the kingdom. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, he uses that word again. He says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. If you see me overcoming, it's
beloved, with changing Paul's problems as he was with changing Paul. It's the same for you and I, isn't it? Listen, beloved, God is not as concerned with changing your problems as he is with changing you into the predestined image of his Son, Jesus Christ. So what do I do? The first point I was supposed to affirm, the saved us in the past is the same grace. When you move that diamond and you see different aspects of that diamond of grace, it sustains us in the present and preserves us for eternity. Paul had learned to be content in the midst of life problems because he came to realize that it was ultimately all for the sake of Christ. That's what he says in 2 Corinthians 12:10. He said, this is all for the sake of Christ. Could you really assess your life and say, all of the challenges of my life is for the sake of Christ? And if you can, they're not for the sake of Christ. They're probably there because of the choices you made. And now you're struggling with the consequences. But you know what? There's still sufficient grace for that. It may be because of your unbending personality, stoic, austere personality. It may be that, but there's still grace for that. It may be because of your passivity, that you let things go, you don't speak up, and you don't respond to the issues, and things get worse because you don't want to rock the boat. You want to just go along to get along, but there's grace for that. But Paul could rejoice because what he was experiencing was a result of his witness to Christ. Isn't that amazing? So when he says to us in verse 10, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, they were the result of his living Christ, serving Christ. Says to me, she said, well, my, what's that person you talk about a lot? My dream self? My fantasy self. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, wife. You know what? In Christianity, we got a lot of fantasy selves in here. My fantasy self, and we never get to the real self. Paul never played around with fantasy self. He dealt with reality. He looked at the man in the mirror. He assessed what was real. Denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following him. Jesus for the sake of Christ. I'm content with what life throws my way. No matter what it is, good or bad, different or indifferent, I'm going to embrace it because His grace is adequate and sufficient for me. His power is going to be put on display in my weakness. Another way of saying it is found in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Do all to the glory of God. Oh, when you're living for the glory of God, you're saying for the sake of Christ, I'm going to be content with what I have to go through, and living for His glory, so that He can put His grace on display publicly in my life. It was through the weakness of Paul that the power of Christ was seen in experience, the very opposite of what we would think, that would be the strength of Paul, that people would see and be drawn to Christ. It's the very opposite in the kingdom of God. The world gives you the strong man. The kingdom of God gives you the weak man. The world gives you what's that man that every woman is after? That man that makes six figures, that man that's 6'5", that man, on and on and on. It's called something. Oh, I wish I had Nia here, that she knows it. Exactly. No, it's called the some quality man, it's not bachelor, but it's a phrase they use in social media. The high value man. Thank you, brother. That's what the world will give you, the high-value man. And he makes a certain amount, and he looks a certain way, and he dresses a certain way, and he lives a certain way. The high-value man. No, God is not going to give you a high-value man. He's going to give you a high-holy man. It's totally opposite. Because, see, the high-value man puts himself in display as great and powerful. But the high-holy man, God puts him in display as being strong and powerful. It's different, beloved. It's all about perspective. Paul concludes in verse 10, for the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness and assaults and hardships and persecutions and calamities, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Beloved, these are the influences of grace that we are commanded to grow up into spiritually and practically. This continuous process in the present tense, you never stop growing. You never make it to perfection here. Paul said, I pressed towards the mark. He didn't get there. He never got there until he was beheaded. Then he was really mature. You don't get there until you see Him. You got to keep on growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. According to that knowledge, you got to grow. It's an ongoing affair. It's a grace that empowers. That's what it is. It's a grace that is free but not cheap. It's a grace that is comprehensive. It hits every aspect of your life. Personal, psychological, emotional, mentally, relationally. In every relationship, grace is comprehensive. It's a grace that is powerful. He says, to Him be the glory, both now peace produces pleasure amid pain. Your pain is useful, not useless to God. Don't squander the pain. Use it for the sacrifice. Use it to the glory of God. Let's pray.
Father God, we come before your presence.
Sometimes our actions do not reflect these truths. It's much easier for us to either complain about our stressful